question. Right. In other words, what does a beast do? A beast is because he's the king of herding the beasts. And a beast, like a cow or a sheep, just does what he's told to do. Goes where he's herded. Thinks what he's supposed to think. He follows his training.
Beast of burden, right. Told.
Does completely what is told. And the right hand, the mark on the right hand signifies labor. If you have the mark of the beast on the right hand, it means that you will labor as you are told to labor. The mark of the beast in the forehead signifies you will think as you are told to think. And so the beast, what it signifies is unjust authority. Now there's two types of authority. There's authority which I call earned authority. If, for instance, you want to learn Spanish and you go to a Spanish class and you have a Spanish teacher and you test him out and you find out that man can really speak Spanish, he can read Spanish, he knows how to conjugate verbs, he knows how to translate, and you test him out and you prove it, this man is an earned authority. But let's suppose you have another teacher. Some dean appoints a teacher and says, now you must listen to this man, he will teach you Spanish. Okay, you want to test him out, well, let's hear you speak some Spanish. And he says, how dare you challenge me? You know, I wouldn't be here if I couldn't speak Spanish. Well, I'd like to know if I'm learning from somebody that can really teach me. How dare you question me? You're going to be expelled from the class if you ask any more questions like this. And so he sets him, he's an unearned authority. He's unwilling to prove that he can do what he says he can do. He's unwilling to show you that he has the power to move you ahead in what you want to learn. This is an unjust authority. And in the world today, the world is governed by unjust authorities, many of them appointed, that are unwilling to prove their expertise. Or else their expertise is clouded. There are many people that we call experts that are not experts at all. For instance, the average doctor lives about 20 years less lifespan than the average person. Average doctor lives to be about 56 years of age. Yet, who's the ones that's teaching us how to be healthy? The doctors are supposed to set the example of health. Yet they live a much shorter lifespan than the average individual. How about the psychologists that are trying to teach us to be mentally healthy? Who among the professions has the highest suicide rate? It's a psychologist. So the people that are trying to teach us to be mentally healthy are the ones that are least mentally healthy. You know, I've heard from a number of sources that a lot of people go into psychology because they're screwed up themselves and they want to unscrew themselves and straighten themselves out. So that's why they went into the business or went into the field to begin with. The religious people are trying to teach us how to be spiritual. The Catholic priests that are molesting little boys. The Islamic terrorists that are killing men, women, and children. All kinds of people in the spiritual professions are trying to teach us how to be spiritual, yet are they setting the example? There's a handful that do, and there's a handful of good doctors, a handful of good psychologists, but as a whole, they're worse than average. Everybody that claims to be an expert in something is worse than average. Okay, what other professions are there?
A lawyer.
Oh, well, that's a great one. Best of all. Lawyers are supposed to set the example as to how to use the laws to benefit humanity. And what do? They use the law to benefit themselves. And they twist the law around. Instead of understanding the law and using it to benefit the nation as a whole and the people as a whole, it's all about benefiting themselves, benefiting maybe one or two clients at the expense of many. One thing that really irritated me was a while back there was a lawsuit. This guy had died of cancer or on his last legs or whatever. And the judgment because of this one man getting cancer from smoking too much, which he should have known better. It was his own fault. He was given an award of like, it was fantastic. It was like $100 billion or something. It was just so fantastic that it would have bankrupted the cigarette company if it hadn't been toned down later on. But another one I read about was, of course, we know about the gal spilling coffee from McDonald's. And another one, this person had an accident in a General Motors car or something, and he wasn't wearing a seatbelt, wasn't doing anything right, and yet he sued the manufacturer and got like $100 million or something like that. But we hear about all these things. But it's not only that, it's a lot of little things. There are a handful of good lawyers, but a lot of lawyers out there are screwing the country as a whole. And they understand the law not as good as like Susan over here. Susan got a lot more common sense, my little niece over here in the red, got a lot more common sense about good law than I bet you 90% of the attorneys out there. But we can pick almost any profession. The only profession I can think of that really performs well as they're supposed to are dentists. And they're the ones we're most afraid of. People say, matter of fact, they say dentists have a really bad self-image because people are so afraid of them, you know, and afraid of the pain and everything. But, you know, the dentist is one professional you can go to that when you're done, you actually are improved. You know, so I have a lot of respect for my dentist.
What about the undertakers?
Well, you know, they really... the last one, what, James? Yeah. Well, it's interesting about the undertakers. You know, they really overcharge a lot on the caskets and everything. What they do is they make you feel guilty about the guy. Well, you know, Aunt B here, we, you know, I'm sure you love her a lot, and you wouldn't want this cheap casket. You know, you probably want this really. This one over here is only a few thousand dollars more. You know, and. I'm sure a few thousand is nothing, you know, and they use a guilt trip to sell them an expensive casket. But now with the Internet, I understand there's people selling cheap caskets on the Internet about half price, which is really irritating the undertakers of the world. So anyway, I heard that you can now buy a casket about half price on the Internet. But speaking of undertakers, the last thing we should do with a body is put it in a tomb. What we have done is we've accumulated to ourselves the most advanced elements on the earth gravitate to human beings, human consciousness. And we stimulate the consciousness of the various atoms in our body. And then we take the most advanced atoms on the face of the earth and we put them in a tomb where they can't progress. What we should do is cremate ourselves, take the ashes, plant it in the garden, and let other human beings eat the tomatoes or whatever from that garden. And then we get the atoms recirculated. And the vibration of humanity as a whole will go up if everybody did this. Because the highest quality atoms among humans would be recirculated.
Quite frankly, if you're going to spend a few more thousand on a loved one, you might have done it when they were alive, not when they're dead.
Right. So I tell my wife, when I'm if I die before her, I want her to cremate me and put me in the garden and raise some tomatoes and eat them. I want to be circulated in her body. Because I'm corny. Yeah, she dies before me. I think her daughter will have a fit if I did that.
What about planting the body as a whole? I mean, do you have to cremate it?
It's best to cremate it because you destroy all the germs. Because there's been a lot of the disease we have among us has happened because of burying bodies from even thousands of years ago, all that a lot of the disease continued in the earth and is still on the earth. And sometimes when we raise plants at Taps End, is some disease from an ancient person that died, and some new disease will crop up among us again.
Well, they still got that plague, those bodies that are buried in, Russia, the 1917 plague, influenza plague.
Oh, yeah?
The scientists went up there and they dug up the body to try and recreate the virus. So
that was a stupid thing to do.
Now,
yeah.
It's the same thing.
Wow.
They basically dug up and recreated the virus that killed all those people.
Yeah, it's called West Nile now.
Yeah, interesting. So the beast is unjust authority. And we see unjust authority everywhere. Unjust authority controls people like in a religion. For instance, almost pick any religion, like the Mormon is headed by a prophet. Mormons is headed by a prophet. The Catholics by the Pope. And many other religions are headed by some guy who's looked on as infallible. Now, the leaders of a particular religion, have they been able to demonstrate their infallibility? No. So why are they accepted as being infallible?
Because they're closer to God than anybody else. Yeah.
Now look at it on a smaller scale. Remember the story of Jim Jones? Took his people down to South America, and when things got in a pinch, he had them drink poison Kool-Aid. Now why did they drink the poison Kool-Aid?
He told them to.
Yeah, he told them to. Look at these, this other little group that was expecting a comet. And to get to this comet, the space mothership that was going to take them to the comet or whatever, they had to die. So they all killed themselves so they could go to the Hale-Bopp comet. Remember that? And these were intelligent people. They did computer programming and websites for a living. They were smart. But they were captivated by this beastly authority. And it was unearned authority. The guy couldn't demonstrate that he could take him up to the Hale-Bopp comet. He showed no evidence of it. They took him for his word, his unjust, authoritative word. He was like the Spanish teacher that if you question, he will say, "How dare you question my authority? Of course I can take you to the Hale-Bopp comet." Yeah, Jim Baker, all of them to a degree, use this unjust authority. In other words, a preacher may read the Bible, get his particular version, and think it's inspired of God. He'll gather people around him and convince them that he can interpret the Word of God correctly. So whatever he says is like God speaking because he's got the Word of God. He interprets it correctly. So my Word is like the Word of God. And what the beast is an outward authority that takes the place of God. And this happens in all professions. Now, it's not called God like in the medical field. For instance, we had this doctor, one family doctor, that was a good guy, and he was pretty intelligent, and he was exploring into natural healing a little bit. And the other doctors in the hospital was over in Emmett. They just had one hospital there. And the other doctors didn't like him because he was a little bit unorthodox. So they were looking for a reason to kind of do something to him. And one day he saw a diagnosis of one of the other doctors and he criticized it. And they had him thrown out of the hospital for just criticizing the head doctor in the hospital. And he all the time that we used him, he could not even enter the hospital. In other words, this was a beastly authority that just because they proclaimed him a bad doctor, that was supposed to make him a bad doctor. But that was completely unjust, just authority behind it, no demonstration that he was a bad doctor. Just they didn't like what he did. They didn't like his attitude. They didn't like the fact that he was exploring natural healing. And so all the time we went, we continued to go to him. A lot of his patients left him, but we continued to go to him because we thought he was still the best doctor in town. And we just worked around the fact that As a matter of fact, if we needed x-rays or something, we would have to go get them from the hospital ourselves and then take them over to him. So it was kind of awkward, but we were happy to work through him because he was actually, in our minds, the most earned authoritative doctor in town. Yeah. Oh. I was telling Artie, you know, everybody says the Pope apologized. I said, no, the Pope didn't apologize. The Pope said he's sorry if they interpreted his remarks negatively. He didn't say, I'm sorry for what I said. And I said, the reason the Pope can't say I made a mistake is because he's infallible. He cannot say, see, the Pope cannot say this was the wrong thing to say. He can't say that because it's the doctrine of the Catholic Church that the Pope is infallible. Therefore, what the Pope says stands, and all the Pope can do for apologizing is say, I'm sorry you guys are upset, but, you know, I'm infallible, see? I can't, can't go back. What I said is true. So that's why the Pope is not apologizing for what he said. He's just apologizing for the way people are taking it, which just irritates Islamic people even more. He quoted ancient teacher, and the teacher said, look at everything Muhammad taught that is new, and it's all about death and destruction, basically. Muhammad, the only thing Muhammad did that was new, you know, he taught a lot of old things, but the only new thing he brought in was to convert people through death and destruction.
That's a pretty wicked thing
for him to say. Yeah, it was pretty harsh.
That was vicious and wicked.
Yeah, and he can't apologize for it because he's infallible.
Well, he should have thought of it with his mouth.
Yeah.
Did Muhammad teach anything else besides death and destruction?
Well, he did teach quite a number of interpretations from the Bible that was different than we've heard before. He taught as much as knew as most anybody else. Matter of fact, if we go back to the Old Testament, we could be just as violent as violent Islamic people by following the things in the Old Testament. Because back in the Old Testament days, they entered a town, they killed the men, women, and children. Or take the women as slaves or concubines.
God told him. That's where the Pope got his information from. I was wondering where the Pope got that information from, because he obviously wasn't there with Muhammad. But God told him so.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, so the Pope can't apologize. And this is the trouble, is that the beast is that which speaks for God. That's the same thing. That's why these people are like suicide bombers, is because, you know, I'm speaking for Muhammad. Muhammad wants you to be a suicide bomber. And Muhammad, of course, speaks for Allah. And so Allah wants you to be a suicide bomber. And the kid says, well, I guess I got to be a suicide bomber then. And so they brainwash them from the time they're young, and they follow without thinking. These little kids are growing up to be trained that suicide bombing is good. They don't question. If they question, they get slapped around. You know, so this happens in all religions to a degree.